I've asked myself over the years, just track back. How come, God, we pray? Get all these faith-believing people, we pray. We read Bible scripture. Don't get mad at me here. We trust God. Nothing happens. Nothing occurs. Why is that? How come it's like that? How come we have family members dying of the same thing? Somebody says it's genetics. Is it? Well, possibly. But could it be something very different? How come we have children that are absolutely, without question, wild? How come? Why is that? The influence is out there somewhere. And years ago, I've had head-on confrontations with the powers of hell. I mean, one-on-one. I have many stories to tell you, but I'm not going to do that today. Many stories. I've had attempted curses put on my wife and daughter by demon eyes, devil worshipers. Where my wife and my daughter were threatened to be raped by demon people. That's right. My daughter is very young. I'll tell you about that story. My daughter enjoyed painting. Well, she's painting. And she liked to paint in the lanai. And so she set up her paints out there, and she set up her equipment out there. And she was just a teenager, maybe. And she would go out there when she came home from school, and she would paint. She painted arts and crafts, that type of thing. And she'd leave all her paints and the equipment outside and just, go about her business. One day I step out in lanai and I looked over where she was painting her projects. And I saw it. I walked over there and with paint that she had left on the table in big bold letters, it said, "Rape you." And then I looked over at the lanai and looked over where the wall was. Lanai has like three sides. And I saw it on the wall. A satanic symbol with "rape all women." That was my wife and my daughter. Now, what would you have done? Someone went past the door and wrote these things on the wall and on the table. I said, let me find out. I went outside. And on my driveway was there a satanic symbol with "rape and die" on the sidewalk. And I said to myself, self, you are engaged in a spiritual battle here. And a spiritual war is heading your way, and that was absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Now, some people will say, I don't believe all that. That's your privilege, your choice. But I know it was real. And I know that it was very, very, very combative. So we went into spiritual warfare. For he wrestled not against what? Flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, if we didn't wrestle like this thing just said, the word, then why did Paul say it? Why did Paul say it? Why did Paul tell us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that's humans, but against powers, principalities, powers, and all these other hierarchies of the enemy? Why did we read this and say, well, it's not for today? Oh, that, he didn't really mean that. It's not us, but it is. And most Christians, I'm sorry to say, I'm going to get on a soapbox here in a second, don't even believe it. And that's what's so sad. Oh, no, that's something else. No. And they're getting absolutely devastated by the forces of hell. They get knocked off their feet and don't know what to do. Well, I don't know what to do, Pastor. I'm telling you what to do, sister. Understand the depths of the Word of God. And don't be, and I'm not talking to you. I'm talking in general. But if I am talking to you, okay. Don't be an inch deep and a mile wide. And a lot of Christians are like that. They're an inch deep and a mile wide. It's the same thing. Inch deep, mile wide. A river, inch deep, mile wide. And it's the same thing over and over and over and over. And they really know he gets a hold of the depths of the Spirit of God and operate in maturity and in power. It's the same thing. Then they say, I don't know how come this, and I don't know how come that. How come, how come, how come? All right, see, what is, I got a question here. When that happened a long time ago, Jamie, my daughter was just a teenager. Okay, it's a long time ago. But whether it was a long time ago or last week, the spirituality of the thing is the same. It happens every day. I can tell you a story. See, I've been around the world walking among this. I've been in the places where idols were worshipped and where people would cry out to demon spirits. Been there. Begins to happen. It began to happen, began to take place in the ministry. I know some people are going to say, well, you're crazy. You're just a lunatic. You're one of them. No, I live through it. I'm speaking from absolute experience. I know what I'm talking about. The church was attacked. We had witches and warlocks come to church on Sunday. What would you do? We had curses everywhere going on. A witch tried to seduce me. You understand what I'm saying? A witch tried to seduce me in my own church. Let me tell you about that. See, I'm letting you know all the skepticism among Christians and all this, I'm not sure, and all, you know, we don't believe in that stuff, you better. Especially in the world in which we live, when our children are being demonized in some churches, in the schools, in the libraries, on TV, in the video games they're playing. They're being demonized. Well, I'm not sure. Well, get sure. Harry Potter, huh? Well, nothing wrong with that. It's full of demonic activity. And our kids just read Harry Potter. Isn't it amazing that they're reading, drag queens read Harry Potter in the schools? I wonder how come, or in the churches, or in the libraries. I wonder how come. Huh? My people perish for lack of knowledge. So they started showing up. I'll tell you about trying to be seduced. This witch in this particular area was on assignment. Her job was to, are you ready? Sexually bring down ministers of the gospel. Let me ask you something. In recent months, how many ministers of the gospel have been brought down for sexual sin? Huh? Big names, big churches, big congregations. I'm not talking about, you know, a congregation running seven. I'm talking about thousands. And all of a sudden, boom, there's brother and pastor so-and-so, and he is crying, and he's saying, you know, I didn't really mean it. It started out so innocent. What do you think that is? Because these guys simply say, well, let me run after another woman? No, they're being seduced and don't know it. Spiritual seduction that's operating in the flesh. So what about every couple weeks you look at the information and there's another pastor or so-and-so church that leaving the ministry because he ran out with somebody? That's not accidental. These guys are not getting up in the morning and saying, well, I think I'd go out and commit adultery against my wife and ruin my ministry. They're not doing that. They're being seduced. What did the Bible say? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And they don't even know it because a lot of them don't believe it. And then bang. So here's what happened. See, I knew that. And this particular person, this witch, her job was to bring down pastors. And she had brought a pastor down in the area in which I was pastoring. I'm not going to call cities, places, locations. Brought down a pastor that had to leave the ministry because he committed adultery with her. That's right. So the church I was pastoring, had a massive campus, 9 buildings on that campus, 9, 35 employees paid. And it was huge. From the back of the church, when you came in off the street, to walking through that building, all the way upstairs, all the way back would probably take you 5 minutes. That's right. That's right. Church had 14 air conditions. Okay? So this is not no little church in the corner. Margaret, church was over on a Sunday. Margaret had gone through the building, out of the doors, through the corridors, another building, upstairs to the back to get something. There was offices everywhere. She went to the furthest office for whatever reason. I was just checking the building. I had a plant manager that took care of that, paid. And it was Sunday, so everybody's gone. I was just Margaret and me. So I was going through to make sure everything was right. Went around the corner, opened the door, walked by. There's 2 offices there. And standing in that hallway going toward the doors to lead into the corridors that had exit in both directions. You can get out 4 different ways. There she was. There she stood. And she was dressed up in her seduction outfit. I mean, she was dressed to kill. Came around the corner and she stopped me. She goes, Pastor Zimmer. I said, yes, called her by name. She looked me right in the eye. She goes, I got something to tell you. So what do you have to tell me? She said, I love you. I said, you do? And if ever I looked into a seductress, I was looking in the eyes of a spiritual seductress at that moment. I said, you know, so-and-so, that's interesting. Because that's the first time a demon has ever told me that he loves me. Usually he tells me that he hates me. But I've never had one to tell me that he loves me. Little did she know that there was glass doors everywhere. I could see past her, over her shoulder, out the door, through the corridors, into the other building, because there's glass doors everywhere. I saw Margaret coming toward me in the other building, the other glass doors, and I waited a second. Margaret opened the door that where I was standing in the hallway by the offices, and this is what I said. I said, Margaret, know what she just said to me? Margaret said what? She said to me that she loves me. I've never had a demon say that to me before. Have you? Instantly, the devil just was defeated. The lady went back into a little girl mode. Oh, Pastor Zimmer, I would never ever say anything like that or do anything like that, you know. What you've done. Well, she got up and, you know, walked out of the building. I told Margaret, I'm calling to my counsel. Got home. I didn't even do it in the church. I went home, got on the phone and called all my council members, all my elders, brought them in for an emergency meeting that night and told them the story. Now you tell me this isn't real. You tell me it's not real. And you tell me that spiritual warfare just doesn't exist anymore. I know better. Let me tell you one more thing. I'll play a song, then we'll continue this. I'm telling you, I'm saying this for somebody on this program. This is for somebody. You better listen. And you better get a hold of spirituality and understand, thus saith the word of God, and understand the mechanisms of what's really going on here. What's really happening here. A person that I was aware of got on an airplane, sat in the seat. Lady was sitting next to him, you know, and chatted for a few moments, blah, 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 small talk. And the lady turned at him and said, I cannot talk to you anymore. On the trip. Okay, that's fine. She said, because I have to concentrate. Okay. Doing job, doing work, fine. She said, because I'm on my way to a certain city. And my job in that certain city is I'm going to bring down sexually as many passers as I possibly can in a short amount of time. And what I need to do is sit in this seat as we fly and concentrate on my familiars and the demons that operate in my life, so I will not speak to you again. And my friend said that trip of 3 hours, she never said a word. She sat there and she got in the negative spirit. And when she got off that plane, she was anointed to be a seductress, to destroy as many churches as possible. Now, you think about that for a moment. Just let that go into your heart. So next time you see a news article or some kind of, you know, post somewhere that pastor such and such left the ministry because he went out with another woman and committed adultery, you understand. Because if you are a child of God, there is a target on you. Or Paul wouldn't have said that, for We wrestle, not just us, just not me, not just some other guys, but we wrestle, for we wrestle against what? Not flesh and blood. It's not a natural thing. Not a natural thing. Not against flesh and blood, but against powers, wickedness, principalities, powers, spiritual, what? Spiritual, what? Demons and devils, where? In high places. Spiritual principalities, spiritual powers, spirituality in high places. Then he says to put on the whole armor of God. If it wasn't true, why would he have said that? But it is true. And I'm telling you, a person would just have to be spiritually blind in a stupor not to see what's going on in our world right now. I mean, they just have to be either not interested, either unwilling to take notice, or just don't have the knowledge. They just don't. There's a lot of reasons for that. Thank God I knew what to do. Thank God I knew what was going on. Others have fallen by the dozens and dozens and dozens. Ministers are falling like dominoes. Not only the big churches, because that's what you hear. The major ministries, the one between 4,000 and 5,000. No. It's not. It happens there. Sure it does. Because it affects more people. But it happens in the local churches, in the small towns, and they don't know what happened. Well, I thought he was just, and wow, so-and-so. And that's what it is. It's there. It's there. It's the downfall there. It's that seduction factor. I didn't know that. Oh, really? Wow. Seducing spirits and what? Doctrines of devils. So you understand what's happening here. I know what I'm talking about. I may not know a lot of things, but I know that. I know because I've been engaged. That's just one or two or three illustrations that occurred. And because I knew what to do, it saved my wife and daughter from being raped. That's right. Well, why didn't you call the police? Police! A friend of mine was the chief of police in our area. I went to his office one day, knocked on the door, walked in, called him by name. I said, I just want to tell you that here's what went on, but you can't do anything about it. He kind of looked at me and said, you can't do nothing about this. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. He says, why'd you tell me? I said, because I want you to know, I don't know the outcome of this yet. I know there's victory. But I want to go on record. There's people in your town that are operating under demonic spirits and doctrines of devils. He was a Christian, and I just want you to know. An officer came and said, you know, Pastor, I want to tell you something. I said, what? He said, do you know this? I said, tell me. He said, in your area, he says there's 13 full-blown covens. I said, well, I wouldn't be surprised. And then he said this. He said there's bank presidents, there's doctors, there's people in that are professional, that are leaders of these groups. Doctors. Doctors are demonized. People go to doctors to get better, to get well. I wonder how come they're not getting well. I wonder how come certain financial issues never is favorable. I wonder. I wonder how come that professional always seems to, police officer told me, put it right together. And it'll really shock you. Your town, your community may be set up demonically. That's another story for another time. We're dealing with the person now, individual, not doing corporate. But there you go. There you go. You ever notice the movies lately? I know you're not attending them, but you ever notice the demonic activity in the movies lately? The demon activity? The fool of the devil? Not just on Halloween. I'm talking about all the time. You ever notice the TV programs? I mean, it all started so innocently with Bewitched. Little lady, she had this and Bewitched. Genie, I dream of genie. Demonic. Spells. Puffing in, puffing out, doing this, doing that. It was acting like a comedy, but it was real. You ever notice the cartoons? Scooby-Doo is so full of demons and devils. Disney, my God help us, that's a prayer. Disney is so satanic. Started out with The Witch and the Seven Dwarfs. And Snow White, remember? The curse on the apple? Fantasia. Let me tell you something, what's interesting. I'm not against anyone. I'm just telling you. Disney, when you go on Disney, Magic Kingdom, notice that? Magic Kingdom. You go down Main Street, a lot of stores and popcorn machines and, you know, and this and that and, you know, this and that. As you head toward the castle. Interesting. Disney built everything there was to build in a small town. Had the little movie theater, had the stores, had the train, the buses. I mean, it's all there except one thing. There's no church on Main Street, USA, in the Magic Kingdom. Never has been. Because Disney was not a Christian. He was a Gnostic. It's all around you. It's all around you. Do you understand this? Do you grab hold of this? Do you see this? Do you understand what's happening here? Understand that we have been acclimated into this for decades. It's been out there, but we have been acclimated into the mainstream for decades. Where truth is wrong and wrong is truth. It's reversed. It's reversed. It's all in the Word of God if you see it. It's all there throughout the history of Israel. When God told Israel, do not marry into the foreign nations, it wasn't because of a lot of things. It was because of the gods that they served. And God told them that. What's the first thing that happened after they came out of Egypt? Okay, cross the Red Sea. Oh, that's what happens. See, they couldn't get the gods out of their spirit. So what'd they do? Moses goes up on the hill to find God's will for Israel. What does Israel do? Make a golden calf. A Baal. B-A-A-L. Baal Peor. And what do? They worshiped. Listen to me. They worshiped. They praised. And what they do? They got into sexual indulgences. They stripped off their clothes. And they did what they did while Moses was up on the hill. And the Bible says, and Israel rose up. And they began to worship idols of a calf, which is a symbol of Baal Peor. Symbol Baal. And they rose up to play. They weren't playing, they weren't playing games. They were, play was sexual immorality. Understand that. It's all through the Word of God. All through the book. And it's come home. Don't you think we need revival? Don't you think we need a touch of the Lord desperately? Don't you think we need that? Don't you think we need to get anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, fire? We need it desperately. Need it like we've never needed it before. Gotta have it. Must have it. Better have it. Better have it. The Bible talks about this. And absolutely, we need to understand spirituality. And demonic activity. Come to church on me, demons and devils and everybody else. People walked in on Sunday night. I never saw him before in my life. Spirit of God immediately spoke to me and said, you got two witches in your church tonight. I said, no problem, we'll take care of it. What happened was I put the message I had planned and spoke directly to them about the power and presence and glory and the anointing of God. That they were demonized. Spoke right at them. Looked straight in their eyes. They were demonized. They came to destroy this church. You come to bring destruction, but I want to tell you, not going to happen, not going to take place, won't take place. And what you're going to hear is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I told them, they got up and walked out. Of course. Of course. Of course. You better understand what's going on. Yesterday, I said, God, I need your touch. And the Lord was speaking to me. I still believe God can talk to you. I still believe God can speak to your life. And the Holy Ghost can guide you and lead you. And the power of God can function in your life. And yesterday afternoon, after the program, I finished the program, sat down in a chair and said, God, and the Holy Spirit began to talk to me about some things. And I listen when the Holy Ghost speaks. I listen. See, you got to prepare for war. You got to get and really understand what's going on. You got to understand what's happening. You got to grab hold of eternal life. You got to grab hold of the power of God. You do. And you got to say, God, I am going to run after you. I'm going to ask you to fill me with your power and presence and anointing. Anoint my life and bring me up in you. And face the enemy. How we need a touch of God. Oh, Spirit of God, revive us again. I am not going to bend one moment, not half a moment, not one millisecond, not one microsecond to the forces of hell that's in operation today. You can do what you wish. You can give in. You can give up. This guy's not going to do that. Heavenly Father, I come in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we're in a war. No, it's not with flesh and blood, even though people want to make it like that. That's what, not where it's at. We're in a situation, God, where we need you. God, we need you desperately. God, we need you now. We need you this minute. We have to have a move of your Spirit or we're finished. Must have. Churches must get serious. What's going on here, Lord? God, my job as a pastor and minister is to cry aloud, to let them know. And God, to the best of my ability, I have and I am and I will. Father, what I've spoken about in the first hour of this program today is a thimbleful of what's really going on. A thimble. A thimble. It's a fingernail clipping of what's happening. Revival must take place. There has to be a move of your Spirit. Got to be. Lord, I remember in the Word where Paul was walking along a street and a lady kept following him and kept crying out, listen to them. They'll tell you about the Most High God. And it went on day after day after day. She was a witch being paid for by a group of individuals, and they were making money off of her. One day the Word says, Paul was vexed in his spirit.